You're listening to Simplicity Sunday with your host, Angela Bingham, broadcasting live on your good neighbor station, News Radio WGNS, every Sunday from 6 until 7 p.m. Thanks for tuning into the show, and remember, 1 hour of simplicity can change your life in Jesus Christ.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Our Simplicity family, we love you. We thank you for tuning in this Sunday. It is the last Sunday of July,
yes,
the month of number 7 completion. And then we're going to head to the August, the month of new beginnings.
Come on.
Hey. So we want to thank everybody for tuning in. We just love you. We want to tell you that God loves you.
Yes,
and we
indeed.
Want you to do something about it. We want you to go share it with somebody else. Once unconditional love hits your life, you will never be the same again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I just thought I'd say that. Well, I'm Angie B. My real name is Angela Bingham. And my show name is Angie B. Hallelujah. I am here along with
Angela Ponder, also known as Angie Renee.
And we are ready to let you know that how you want to simplify your life, best thing ever.
Yes.
Once you know how, and that is simply saying, Jesus, I recognize you as the purpose for my life, the planner of my life, the peace of my life, the passion of my life, the power in my life, and teaches me patience just to be in my life.
Yes.
And when you do that, God will order your steps.
Yes, he will.
And I don't care what you do. You can have money to the highest. You can have no money to the lowest until you have faithfully said yes to the Lord. Y'all hear me? Faithfully saying yes to God. Your life is just not fulfilled as it could be when God created you. I'm telling you, try him and do that. And every day you will have a fulfilled purpose and you will fit in the niche that God placed you to be the difference. And we just want to say congratulations to every one of you that have done it. And look, if you fell off, get back up and
try it again. That's right.
Because
Amen.
Simplifying your life is a lifestyle. And when God is in it, he helps you. He'll order your steps and he'll speak to you if you listen. I promise. We have the best producer in the
100%.
1,000%. What you talking about? And no other than Connor.
Yes.
And Connor, we thank you for putting simplicity on the map and all over the country.
We love Connor.
We want to be number one in the nation.
That's
because we just think that to simplify your life is the passion of completeness. You know, you just want to get up in the morning and say, Lord, what we got to do today?
Yes,
you understand? So when
right.
you have that passion and God has put you mm-hmm, there, it's mm-hmm. just amazing things that God will allow you to do. Miraculous
yes.
thing. And people will wonder, mm-hmm. well, how do you know how to do that? Your real answer is, I don't know.
But God.
But God. God will teach you even, mm-hmm. even if you have the education
right.
behind it. God will heighten that. And we just thank God for everything. Well, simplicity, one more time, we want you to know that we have a lot of things going on in our community and the people's lives that we want to keep praying for. Thank you all for praying for my mother. She is in rehab right now, and the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Y'all, just before we came, we saw God's miracles happening in the room. That's what mm-hmm. I'm talking about. And then so we want everyone to keep praying for Cornell Bingham.
Amen. Amen.
Say her name out. Because Amen. I told my mama before I left, I said, you shall live and not die. And my mom said, I don't want to die. You know, something rose up in me, and in the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. said, and pointed at her and commanded, you shall live and not die. And I saw the peace of God come over her face.
Mm.
Because I said, God has greater works for you to do.
Thank
for
you,
number
Lord.
One, to tell your story so he can get the glory.
Now.
And that's what this generation needs.
That's right.
Because there's nothing like the power of our living God. Come on here. Okay, Angie Renee, I have lit the torch, and lit just means living in trust and the truth of Jesus Christ. And when you do that, I mean, your life can't do anything but go higher. And
yes.
I'm talking about to another level.
Yes.
And another level is another devil. But guess what?
My.
God is still there, and he's above
is.
All
Thank
of
you,
that.
Lord.
So,
amen,
Angie
amen.
Renee, I pass the torch to you
All
to
right.
tell about this dynamic thing
yes.
that we have to say to we want to tell the world about everybody. And the young man that we have on, the young gentleman that we have on today, wasn't anything but God's situation. And I'm pretty sure I can tell by his smile and by his look that he just loves God. And if he doesn't, just nod.
Even if you do nod.
Yeah, he put his hands up.
Yeah. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for tuning in. We have an exciting show today.
Yes.
Today is our the fourth Sunday. So every fourth Sunday, we celebrate or we shine a light on social justice topics. So it's our part of our Social Justice Sunday series. And tonight we have a special guest for you, Dr. Siku Franklin.
Oh, man.
He is a distinguished educator, acclaimed scholar, community advocate, and author of an author who recently joined Fisk University as the executive director of the John Lewis Center for Social Justice. And we have him on via conference tonight. The John Lewis Center for Social Justice was named after late congressman and Fisk alumnus Representative John Lewis.
Yes.
It was established in 2019 with the mission to advance social justice, a vision to which Lewis devoted his life's work, and it is a pillar of Fisk's legacy.
Mm.
Please help us welcome Dr. Siku Franklin to the Simplicity Desk.
Woo!
We don't have a clapper machine, so that's the best we could do right now. Welcome, Dr. Franklin. We are excited to have you on this evening and to have this conversation.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. And You may or may not know, but I just left MTSU to go to Fisk.
What?
Go Raiders!
Yeah,
we're
so
alums.
I just started this position, but I have ties to Murfreesboro. I live in Nashville area, but I spent 22 years at MTSU. So,
yeah. Hey, we're MTSU alums, but
yes, we are
so proud of you, and we're so encouraged and excited for this new chapter. So our feelings aren't hurt. You have served MTSU very well. So we thank you for what you did for our school.
Yes, thank yes.
you. All right. So tell us a little. You're an author and you're a community advocate, and your resume is pretty long. It's pretty lengthy. Just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up in this new. First of all, congratulations
yes.
on your new
thank
role.
You.
That's
thank
first.
You. I appreciate it.
But as
what an honor.
Yes, it is. It's amazing. And it was just announced Monday, the 21st, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, so this is fresh off the press, everyone.
Should be Monday or Tuesday it was announced. I
yes.
think maybe Monday night, and it came out Tuesday. Yes.
Like yes. Monday. So in this new role, can you share what this appointment means to you personally and professionally?
Well, as mentioned earlier, I spent 22 years at MTSU But a lot of my community work was in Nashville, with working with a broad range of groups, from environmental justice groups to NAACP to economic justice. I have a passion for voting rights, so I did a lot of work in that area, and I've worked on voting rights cases, doing trainings, expert reports, those kinds of things like that. So this, and you know, this kind of experience for me goes back two decades. Come out of the nonviolent justice movement, so my mentor in the nonviolent civil disobedience world is Reverend James Lawson, or the late Reverend James Lawson, mm-hmm, who passed mm-hmm. away, I believe, 2 years ago. He passed away recently, within the last year or 2 years, I think last year's. Mm-hmm. Ironically, he was a person that trained the late Congressman John Lewis. Mm-hmm. While John Lewis was then a student at American Baptist College, and Lawson trained as the one who set up the trainings for John Lewis, Diane Nash, C.T. Vivian, James Bevel.
Oh, C.T. Vivian.
Bernard Lafayette. Bernard Lafayette, primarily at, if you're familiar with the Nashville kind of ecosystem, primarily at Clark United Methodist Church and First Baptist Capital Church, mm-hmm. back in the late 50s, early 60s. So for me, it's a full circle moment that I'm inheriting a center named after John Lewis, who was trained by a mentor of mine, who pretty much has spent now, I think, he's going to be effectively responsible for training two generations of folks, John Lewis and myself. Mm-hmm. And you know, as a political scientist too, you know, I have a perspective too, where I followed John Lewis in Congress, followed his work with the Congressional Black Caucus, followed his work looking at the Congressional Black Caucus budget. So I've also seen his work in relationship to the political science side or the politics side as well. So it's a full circle moment for me. I want to acknowledge also the previous interim director, Dr. Ricardo Guthrie, who is a brilliant intellectual in his own right. And I thank you to Fisk University for mm-hmm. Giving me welcoming me with open arms.
Awesome. That's excellent. So what inspired your decision to join Fisk University, particularly at this pivotal time in the social justice space and in higher education?
Well, I it's interesting because I thought I probably would stay at MTSU through the duration of my academic career, mm-hmm. but Fisk University presented the opportunity primarily because I was doing a lot of work with grassroots organizations over the last 20 years or so. And I've had my ups and downs, been involved in everything from protests to working with policy coalitions. And I effectively just wanted a challenge with seeing if the work can be expanded, not just in Tennessee, but also mm-hmm. the South.
Yes.
Connecting the campus with the community.
Yes, I like that.
And you know, something else, because I think this is a spiritually driven exercise too, as well, is that in the grassroots community, what has happened in the last 5 years, unfortunately, has been a lot of fragmentation and fissures. And it's one of the things that activists are very concerned about, where almost every single issue-based group, you know, whether it be groups looking at racial justice and mm-hmm. policing, groups looking at voting rights, groups looking at environmental justice, groups looking at even immigrant rights, there's been some internal fragmentation and fissures. So for me, this also presents an opportunity for building solidarity and cohesion,
yes.
and engaging a deeper struggle across the region. And there's some resources that are going to be available for me at Fisk University with some external support, mm-hmm. some of which haven't been announced yet, so I wish I can announce it, that are going to allow for that as well. But also, overall, this is for your audience, this is a pretty tough time right now. This is the biggest attack on higher education
that's occurred in
my lifetime. We see attacks on, you know, MTSU, you probably know this, I assume, but MTSU is going to lose, or has lost, I think, more than 15 scholarships that mm-hmm. funded racial minorities. the diversity offices have effectively shut down, not just at MTSU, but at many of the both publicly funded and private universities. And then even at HBCUs, you see them undergoing a challenge because the cutbacks in Pell Grants and loans are going to hurt Black students the most, and
Latino
students the most, Native American institutions. So this is a huge attack on higher education that we're seeing. And so it's important that we find ways to engage in creative struggle wherever we can, that we look at how campus community coalitions are important, and that we find ways to parlay students to work both inside of the environment of the campus, but also to outside local and indigenous folks who can help, you know, not just build better efforts of social justice, but also affirm the dignity of the students, affirm their self-worth, affirm their humanity, affirm their place.
Yes.
That's what we want to do.
Yes, that was John Lewis in Good Trouble.
I love it. Yes.
And he was such an honest man, full of integrity. Mm-hmm. And just to have that position that you hold now, I know that you're going to help the students, the faculty, the community. Mm-hmm. What does that feel like to be able to stand in those shoes?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, for me, it's a great honor. You know, John Lewis in Nashville, they have a struggle. Is he American Baptist College or is he Fisk University? He went to American Baptist College, graduated from there. He went to Fisk University, graduated from there, I think somewhere around 67. So there's an internal struggle over who holds John Lewis' legacy. Yeah. And we all hold it.
Absolutely.
ABC. Oh, okay. I see ABC. I've done some work. I've done a lot of work over the years. I've actually done more work with ABC folks than I've done with FIST folks over the years, over the last 20 years. So, but the truth of the matter is we all hold this legacy. Whether or not we're in the housing projects across from FIST.
Yes.
That at Andrew Jackson Housing Projects, they hold a legacy too. Mm-hmm. And so, for me, it's a great honor. And really, it's interesting because, you know, there'll be a lot of rough spots along the way. But what John Lewis offers is enough instruction in his writings, his lectures, his talks, his speeches, but his activism, enough instruction where if there's ever uncertainty, I can always look to see what he did at that moment, at that time. And I'll just, can I expand upon that a little bit?
Oh, please.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So just give you an idea. The interesting thing about John Lewis is that in the last, I would say, 10 years of his life, he led what was the only protest in Congress, like a sit-in. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you know that. Maybe around 2015 or so, he actually led a sit-in that lasted maybe close to a dozen hours or so, quite a long time. And then there's another interesting moment where John Lewis attended a Black Lives Matter protest, maybe 2014, 2015, somewhere around that time. The Black Lives Matter movement at the time had this interesting way of acknowledging speakers or not acknowledging speakers, but it was generational. It was generational. Mm-hmm. So John Lewis didn't know it, and they kind of, I want to say dissed them, but they didn't.
Yeah.
Try to check. But it's interesting because John Lewis didn't get mad. He just, for the most part, recognized their frustration, adjusted it, and then used it as a moment to effectively build intergenerational relations. Mm-hmm. And so what we have with John Lewis are multiple examples across multiple examples in which if there's ever uncertainty, we can look to see what he did. I can look to see what he did to figure out how to move forward.
I think you need to add visionary to your resume because you are an incredible visionary and we can see already what you plan to do to move forward the vision of Mr. Lewis. So we appreciate y'all. I'm sitting here just totally blown away at what you already see that needs to be done with respect to the Social Justice Center. So that is incredible.
Thank you.
You know, I want to ask, you know, how do you plan to, I guess, bridge the gap? Now, there it seems like a gap between the students and, I guess, the community now. And so how do we bridge that gap to have more students that are activists in, I guess, the correct way?
Well, I'll tell you something. At MTSU, what I did in all my classes in the last few years was have an experiential learning activities. And so I had students knocking on doors five or six years at the Mercury Court area, court doing court watch, going to city council meetings, going to working with formerly incarcerated persons. I took students parole board hearing meetings at the Riverbend Prison. So I have effectively a catalog of activities that students could do in terms of making that connection. More specifically at the John Lewis Center, my dream, and a lot of this is based upon resources, my dream is to create a community scholars program.
Yes.
Where people in the community, activists, organizers, alums who are actually in the activist space or in the policymaking space can have dialogues, can come in and do maybe even short-term residencies, working with students on this work. I have also a plan to do convenings, just basically dialogues at the John Lewis Center with activists and students, kind of off the grid, and not just your so-called traditional activists and organizers. I know that space. I know the labor folks. I know the voting rights folks. I know the folks that are in the homeless community, in the streets, prisons. These are people I know personally. But I also want to see, and it's going to take maybe a couple years, what are some more innovative ways we can enhance student engagement, but student interaction? Some young people might be interested, for example, in the role that playwrights are playing in increasing activism. There's some research out there now about, hey, you know, you got to look at gaming, the gaming industry, and civic advocacy. So there's that space as well too. So those are the two main issue ways: convenings, also a community scholars program that can bridge the gap. We do have, we are going to be fortunate to have some resources to bring in students to work at the center, and those kinds of things as well. Me personally, I just started July 1st, but what I'm going to take an old kind of trick out of the organizing work and do one-on-ones with faculty, see if I can get to as many student organizations that are having meetings on campus as I can. Try to make folks know, hey, I'm here, let me know what you need, hold me accountable.
Absolutely.
Those are the kinds of things that I'm going to try to build out over the next year.
Amazing.
Yeah, I love that you're requiring your students to be hands-on, be on the front end, because they really need to know what it's going to be like. They need some level of experience so that they know what it's going to be like to be advocates in the community.
Yes.
To advocate for social justice. Mm-hmm. So that is just phenomenal.
We've had students. I mean, we had a big campaign in Nashville, that was of us working on criminal justice, where we, it's 2015 and 2016, 2014, 18-month campaign, 18-month, 2 years campaign, where we worked on what's called Band of Box, trying to get persons who are incarcerated the chance to get employment without having to be stigmatized.
Yes.
So it required a petition drive, a referendum petition drive. I mean, it's a long story that ultimately got approved through the Civil Service Commission. I won't go into it. But we had students from Meharry. We had students from Lipscomb, Vanderbilt. We had students from MTSU. Mm-hmm. And the student reminded me at MTSU, yeah, you know, you brought me out to Nashville to knock on doors. We were knocking on doors in the Napier Housing Projects, you know, which is the roughest of the rough. We were knocking on doors in Parkwood, and students from MTSU and NACP were teamed with activist organizers knocking on doors. Those are the things, you know. At MTSU, we did voter outreach at the housing development near MTSU, and students love it. When students get a chance to get on the doors, when students get a chance to go to a city council meeting, a county commission meeting, even if it's like an airport commission meeting or a planning commission meeting, they love it.
Because get them engaged.
it punctuates and makes the theory and abstract real. It punctuates exactly what they need to see. And I can tell you, you could teach a class for 14 weeks, but if you could just take just a few hours and put them in those situations, the students love it.
Yeah, it's just from theory to practice.
Yes.
Oh, they love it. That's it. Right. Some students say, Dr. Baker, can I just view the school board meeting on TV, or can I just view the city? No, you got to go in there because what you want to see is you want to see who's talking to who in the lobby.
Right.
You want to see who's going to approach you. You know, you want to see how many people are in the room. Well, when you have a planning commission meeting or airport commission meeting, there's no one in the room. You know, because some of the students don't just do it in Murfreesboro or Rutherford. They're doing it in Wilson County. Some students do it in Lawrenceburg, Giles County. So they're seeing in these rural communities, because students are commuting to work to campus or the online students. And students, I mean, they just love it.
Amen. I love that. Your energy, I can tell.
I know.
It promotes the legacy of John Lewis. Yeah, so, person? Now, you know, it's just, I just do believe that God orders your steps, and where you're supposed to be, that's where you are at that time. Amen. To do greater work. So
greater
I commend
works.
You.
Yes,
I can.
Yes.
I'm coming to the center.
I'm not going to just leave MTSU.
Thank you.
I got to find something. Something in it may take me a year or two, but we got to find something to build a regional connectivity.
Yes.
Fisk, MTSU, TSU, Austin Peay. We're all connected. So we got something.
That's right. Come on.
Something to get connectivity with.
That's right.
With the regional, because you know when students are, you know the students are connected. Just give you one example. I believe the first university to establish a Black Studies, I think it was an Ethnic Studies program, or Black Studies, I think Ethnic Studies, was San Francisco State. It was a very militant movement. I mean, in 68, I think the National Guard were on campus. It was perceived as maybe the most kind of militant aggressive movement out there. Danny Glover and all those folks.
Yes.
The Panthers. I can go on and on all that. But it was the only movement in the history of the Bay Area, student movement, in which you had a call went out to all the students from Berkeley, San Jose State, all the universities to converge on the campus of San Francisco State. And so I went to grad school at Howard. You know, Howard, when Howard was connected with other folks, it mattered a great deal. If you have Clark that's connected with Morehouse, that's connected. So we have to find ways to build these cross-campus connections.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, ladies and gentlemen, and we thank you for tuning in to Simplicity.
Yes.
And now it's time to take a break. I do not like to take breaks when my stories are so interesting, but we do have to pause for the cause. Angie Renee, would you tell us what's going on in our community?
Absolutely. Save the date, Saturday, August 16th, 2025. There will be a prayer conference and brunch hosted at Hickory Grove Missionary Baptist Church. That's at 5209 Jefferson Pike in Smyrna, Tennessee. Sponsored by First Community Church and Pastor Johnny P. Grandison. The theme, Prayer Changes Things, and that's Philippians 4, 6 through 7. There's no registration fee, and there will be a brunch following the conference. Love Connection Ministries. Each and every Tuesday evening at 5:00 p.m., join the Love Connection Ministries and Team Tuesday at Oakland Restoration Church, located at 530 North Manny Avenue in Murfreesboro, as they sow seeds of love, compassion, and a hot meal to those in need, according to Matthew 25. Email teamsimplicityradio@yahoo.com for contact and donation information. To God be the glory for His provision. Attention seed sowers. Simplicity Radio is looking for seed sowers to bless our ministry so that we can continue to provide support for people in the community who need it most. If you would like to partner with us in our endeavors, you can donate via Cash App at $SimplicityWithAngie, that's A-N-G-I-E, or you can email us for additional information. Thank you in advance for supporting our initiative to help the Murfreesboro community. Simplicity Radio volunteers. We are looking to expand our Simplicity network and are in search of volunteers who are experienced in the areas of media and events. If this is you and you are able to lend your time and creativity to our ministry, please email us at teamsimplicityradio@yahoo.com. About next week's show, join Team Simplicity next Sunday for the last of four parts in our A God Experience testimonial series, as we have heard powerful stories of four men who faced life-altering circumstances but refused to let go of their faith in the Lord. The fourth story is entitled Purpose Beyond the Prognosis, with special guest Reverend A.T. Griffey. And I do believe we have an announcement from two representatives from the Murfreesboro Health Department, Ms. LaShawn Dixon and Mr.
Blake.
Qualls.
All right, take it away.
Yeah, what's going on, Rutherford County? This is health educator Blake Qualls here with the Rutherford County Health Department, here to personally invite you to our 10th annual community baby shower. I am with the woman that started it all, the queen matriarch, Miss LaShawn Dixon.
Thank you, Blake. Thank you. And thank you, Simplicity Radio, for having us on.
Absolutely.
We are so excited to be announcing our 10th annual community baby shower that will be taking place on Saturday, August the 23rd at Patterson Park Community Center. We are so excited to be able to host this event from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And we're inviting all new and expecting families out to this event. Since 2015, the Community Baby Shower has helped to shower over 4,000 expecting families.
Hallelujah. That's awesome.
And we are excited to be able to continue on this legacy. This event is one of our staple events that the Rutherford County Health Department continues to do here in our community, and we want to invite all out to this event. We'll have workshops. Mm-hmm. We'll be giving away baby bags full of essential baby items such as diapers, onesies, wipes, all the things you need for their baby's first year of life. And then we'll also be having car seat safety checks that'll be provided on that day. And so we invite everyone to come out. We want to say thank you to all of our amazing community sponsors and supporters, our churches, our nonprofit organizations for continuing to rally behind this event year after year. So we invite you all out, Rutherford County, to this event on Saturday, August the 23rd from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Patterson Park Community Center. And we cannot do this without Patterson Park, and we thank them for allowing us to host this event there year after year.
Amen.
Oh, yes. And we have Simplicity, the Angies.
Yes,
and
the Angies.
Yes.
Angie B and
Angie Renee.
Come on with the Angies. We support you.
Yes,
and
100%.
It has been phenomenal. Every time we come, you know, we see families and the smiles and the tears, the joyful tears.
Yeah.
Because some people cannot believe that we still help one another.
Yes.
You know, that's what I love about you and the position that you have taken. And like we were telling Dr. Franklin, God is placing people in positions for them to be the difference.
That's right.
And I want to commend you as well for doing that.
Yes.
To God
absolutely.
Be the glory is what I say.
Now,
I don't care where you all go. In some places you cannot, you know, hallelujah, you know, but I can hallelujah behind the scenes for you, understand?
Yes, that's right.
Because I
Amen.
Want you all to understand that when God opened doors,
you
have to know that He placed you there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you and when you hear His voice, move instantly. Automatically you'll find people just coming, and the legacy will continue. Like you have Blake and you know, just training him and doing these things, and the energy never dies, you know, because that means the legacy and the love of labor continues.
Yes, and truly we could not do this without our community partners. We could not do this without the support of the staff and volunteers at the Rutherford County Health Department.
Yes.
We typically have about 70 to 80 volunteers that come out between packing the diaper bags to make sure they get taken over to Patterson Park Community Center to the actual event day of. And so we're very grateful to our churches, to our sororities, our fraternities that come out, to MTSU who brings students out to help us be able to give those items out, and to all of our vendors. We have about 50 vendors on that day, and each one of the vendors brings giveaways, and so we'll have over 50 giveaways. We also want to say thank you to Murfreesboro Water Department. They provide us with car seats and pack and plays to be able to give out on that day. And so it's truly an amazing day to be a blessing to someone else.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
And give a shout out to Patterson Center Director Dr. J.
Yes.
What I call her. Well, Dr. Franklin, he's going to come back, and we're going to finish out that the questions for him and the things that he has purpose for the community.
Yes.
You know, I don't like traffic, but I don't mind driving to places and spaces that make differences in the lives of people.
That's right.
And then pretty soon we'll get Dr. Franklin here behind Simplicity Desk.
Now, now. In the flesh.
Desk in the flesh. Yeah. So we're just grateful and we're thankful for all the differences that we're making in our communities and in the lives of people, like I said. Simplifying people's life and the complexity and the vicissitudes of things happening all the time.
Yes, yes.
You know, somebody just needs to say, I got you. Mm. Don't you agree with that?
Yeah,
isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I got you. That's what the Lord tells me all the time. And I said, do you really, Lord? And now I used to say, Lord, you got me? And now I say, Lord, you got me.
Yes, it is.
And always remembering, in the words of Helen Keller, alone we can do so little, together we can do so much.
So much. Yes. Together. Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, Dr. Franklin.
All right. Yes.
Look. Now, Angie and I, we love doing the visits and going on the campuses and seeing the legacies. We will make an invitation. We will come and visit you and see the greatness that you will continue at the John Lewis Center.
That would be awesome.
For social justice. Because we said, every Sunday, we can lean on you as well of getting people for Social Justice Sundays. We're connected.
Yeah, we're passionate about it.
Absolutely.
Too.
This is something that God has given us.
Yes.
And we're going to be true to what He's given us.
When we often tell
people, it's not about us,
No,
but it's about who God has purposed.
Yeah.
For us to help
and
for Him to help us and to do it, to get the job done. All righty.
Okay, so Dr. Franklin, how do you define justice in today's social and political climate?
Well, I've wondered about that term and that concept, and I guess for me, it's justice would be, see if I can say this the right way. It's an evolving concept or term, but for me, it's a process that positions the dignity and humanity of folks whose backs are against the wall at a given point in time, to use a Howard Thurman term.
Yes.
Those folks who are under-resourced. And to constantly affirm that, and that affirmation comes through community building, community healing, and policy intervention. But it also comes through how we also affirm each other, organize each other. So for me, that's how I would define justice. It's a process where a person's humanity and dignity is prioritized, and not necessarily and making sure that those persons who are from under-resourced communities, those persons who backs against the wall, that their humanity is also prioritized and affirmed. So that's the way I would define it. But I think it's an evolving concept as well.
Yeah. So if you were to name one lesson from John Lewis's legacy that you believe every student should carry forward, what would that lesson be?
Wow. Well, there is one lesson with two different legs to it. So it might sound like it's two lessons. And John Lewis, in the last, it's unclear when he wrote this, but in the last stage of his life, the last decade of his life, rather, he said that these times, notwithstanding what he faced in the 1950s and 60s, these times are presented with what he called, quote unquote, a unique hostility. That what we're facing in these times is uniquely hostile. And which was interesting, because you had this person who's from rural Alabama, who was a kid, was learned how to preach by preaching to chickens. And who pretty much came to ABC, American Baptist College, with nothing, who became one of the world's famous humanitarians, mm-hmm. Against the face of white supremacy and vicious kind of segregation, who pretty much said, but in these times, there's a unique hostility. So I think that's an important lesson for us to figure out how we struggle in these times. But then he also said that we today can be, and I'm going to put quotes on this, that we today can be the oil that keeps the lamp of justice and freedom burning.
Yes.
So although we have this this dystopian idea of, wow, we're facing such a unique hostility in these times, you have this optimistic strategic kind of pathway forward, that we can create a community, a nation that affirms the dignity, if we keep struggling, if we keep affirming humanity, if we keep that this lamp of justice and freedom burning. So I think he offers hope in that second leg.
Oh,
well, wow.
Leads me into my next question.
Yes.
What gives you hope when it comes to the next generation of scholars and activists?
Well, the next generation of scholars and activists they're brilliant. And there is they really can't be stopped, notwithstanding anything that you see today, attacks on civil rights and voter rights, and there are vicious attacks. I mean, I can tell you, in the last 3 or 4 months, I've been in meetings with folks who are facing a quite brutal level of attacks, but the young people today, they're so brilliant and they're so tough that they're gonna experience some pain, but you're not gonna be able to stop them unless they stop themselves, unless they internally fragment, stop themselves. Mm-hmm. So that gives me hope, is their brilliance and their drive.
Yeah. Wow. You know, what advice we always ask our guests, what advice would you give to your younger self?
Well, that's a good question, and I've often thought about that. For me, to use a phrase that the rapper Nipsey Hussle
stated, come on now.
It is a marathon.
It's marathon. Oh,
this journey is a marathon.
Come on. Yes.
What may seem like something that is success that you get early. I know a lot of folks, especially in the organizing, grassroots organizing and political space, who, you know, by 25, they were dynamite. I mean, just next superstars. And then you just don't hear them anymore. So it is a marathon and not a sprint. Mm-hmm. I think I would probably really encourage young people and tell my younger self, don't be so judgmental. Why people make decisions.
Come on.
I think we could be disappointed and hurt. I've been, as a young person, I was mistreated in some cases by older folks, but try not to be so judgmental. If you have a person, if you're organizing a protest and you find a person doesn't want to join the protest, find out the reason why. That person may have a family to feed.
Yes.
I mean, that person may have a mortgage, a family, a student loan, a car note, a mama to take care of, make sure they nursing home bills paid for. And by the time they come home, they're exhausted. And so let's try not to be judgmental, but let's try to find creative roles for people to play. Some people may not be able to get involved in like street action. Some people may not be able to involved in this. But let's try to be, you know. And I tell you this because this is a spiritual faith-based show. I kid you not. It was an activity that I brought a student to. I brought a student to a parole board hearing of a very well-known person. Was up for parole. Actually, I didn't bring a student there, but it was a very well-known person who was up for parole. And there was this very prominent minister in Nashville. You would know the person if I mentioned, I won't say the name, who is, well, it's like a hero, but the person, he just disappointed us. He did something that we thought stabbed us in the back. And he did. I mean, he did. I mean, folks were so angry. And I mean, just so angry. And I thought to myself, man, when I almost can't get over it. But here I am in a parole board hearing with the person who was on death row for 10 to 15 years, got off death row, was in jail for 25 years on a wrongful conviction.
Wow.
And was looking for a parole hearing, ultimately got a new trial, was looking for to get off parole. And the same minister is in a parole hearing, and all of a sudden he just starts singing. I don't know what it was. It was old Baptist hymn. And the whole room just got mesmerized. And he just stretched his hands out and just started singing. Everybody just got in a circle and started singing. And this river been prison, by the way. And the guy walks out, and I knew we were gonna win that parole hearing. I knew he was gonna get off. How did we know? I don't know. This minister, right? He brought something to the table that no one else could bring. No one else could bring. No young person. It was a multiracial, only a black Southern minister could bring what he brought. And I left that room saying, Sekou, be careful. Be careful about how you judge folks.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What a lesson.
Yes. Wow. I want to applaud you for, when you reference the students and how brilliant they are, I applaud you for encouraging them to engage and get involved, because that's where it starts. And also the creative roles, everyone can play a part, but everyone can't play the same part. So I absolutely love how you are looking for alternative ways for people who may not be boots on the ground. They may be able to get behind a keyboard or get on the phone.
Yes.
But you're looking for ways, creative ways for everyone to play a part in social activism. So I appreciate that.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know that sometimes you do not want to call in because people say, oh, your show is just so wonderful. We don't want to interrupt. But just in case there's someone out there, our number is 615-893-1450. Call in or text, because we have such a generation now that are social media everywhere, and we want you all to be involved in everything that we do. And once again, that number is 893-1450, and that area code is 615. All right, Andrew Renee.
All right. So, looking back on your career thus far. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me go back to a different question. What message do you want to leave with the Fisk community and those who will engage with the John Lewis Center under your leadership?
Well, what I want them, what I think there is a nerve center in the Fisk community that wants social justice that wants Fisk at the center of social justice. And so the message is that I want to make that happen.
Yes.
What I also want to do is to make sure that I acknowledge the different parts of the community. So there are students, faculty, but also alums. And so really connecting with the alums for Fisk is also very important for me as well. The other message I want to convey is, and it's hard with the academy, but the academy does have a role in making conditions better for the least of these.
Oh yes.
And that role can come from the top down, whether it be the president, or come from the center, or the students, but we do have a role. And so the message that I want to leave for the Fisk community is that the John Lewis Center hopes to play that role, or hopes to continue to play that role, because there were people there before I got there. And finally, what I'll say, if I can, is that the role of Fisk in that space of social justice goes back more than 100 years. because FIST was started in the 1860s mm-hmm. and produced the likes of Du Bois, Charles Johnson, mm-hmm. Ray Winbush led the Race Relations Institute there for years, and others. So the hope is that we'll continue that historic role that FISC has played.
That sounds good. And FISC has a very strong alumni community.
Yes.
They are very supportive. So I envision you having great success in getting them engaged in what you're trying to do as well.
Yes. And how can our listeners, with Simplicity Family, how can we support you in this endeavor?
Well, I think it's going to take us 2 or 3 months to really ramp up and get underway. I think for the listeners, I think it's important for us to be in constant conversation.
Yes.
And for me to come back on the show.
Oh, yes.
So, I think it's important for once we get ramped up, for folks to connect to our programs. My hope again is to do a convening, a salon, a kind of mm-hmm. a salons where people convene and kind of have dialogues. So listeners can get involved in that as well. My email address is sfranklin@fist.edu. And I'm still getting set up with some of my other phones and all that kind of stuff because I just transitioned in there. But mm-hmm. I'm pretty easy to contact, pretty easy to talk to. And in many respects, it's very important for Simplicity and FISC, I mean, and the audience to hold us accountable.
Yes.
I really believe that. If we feel that's that good. We're out of pocket, not responding, you know, not giving that, you know, not speaking truth about it, to really hold us accountable and hold me accountable.
Awesome.
That's good.
Well, we're going to take a break. This is the part of the show that we do not like. We say that we are not out of talk,
but we are out of time.
What Angie Renee is going to do, she's going to give our contact for our social media.
Yes, yes. All right. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Simplicity Radio, on Facebook at Simplicity Sunday on WGNS. As well, you can listen to us in podcast format on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, iHeart, and Amazon Music streaming services. Just search Simplicity Sunday.
Awesome. And we want everyone to remember, save these dates for
the community baby shower happening on Saturday, August 23rd at Patterson Park Community Center from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Yes. And also remember Saturday, August the 16th. For the prayer conference and brunch. And let me tell you something about Pastor Johnny. She comes and helps serve the homeless on Tuesdays with blessing. Team Tuesday. When I community. Tell you you're a fireball for Jesus, and she's just a beautiful person. So she's sponsoring this prayer conference. And so everyone, if you can go, yes. because it's going to be at the Hickory Grove Missionary Baptist Church, and we will be announcing it next week as well, and about the community baby shower.
Yes.
Dr. Franklin, we're going to give you a last minute word that you would tell our community something off of your heart, from your heart, and the blessings of God while you're thinking.
Well, honestly, I've been involved in a lot of activism, and I'm gonna give you something that only probably my wife knows. No, but I literally get on my knees and pray every day.
Come on,
yes, God.
And hallelujah.
And I'm kind of a eclectic person, but I often will have prayed, just let me be a vessel. I don't know what that would mean, but my hope is that this journey to FISC is a step towards letting me be a vessel for making life better, bringing change to the community. And so
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's purpose. Yes. That's purpose for your life. Yes. Blake, we thank you for joining us.
Yes, we do.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's the feature right here.
I just want to say, I came here to, you know, advertise our event, but I'm leaving here inspired and empowered. Thanks to your
husband. All right. That's what we love. It's all about, you know, simplifying everybody's life. But most of all, keeping Jesus first in priority in your life. Mm-hmm. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're so glad that you chose to join us tonight. Yes. I want to thank Reverend Marcus for also asking a dynamic question. And he's a product of American Baptist College. So we want to thank God. All this connection, all this divine community. And what I like is when we come together.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Hand in hand and help one another. Mm-hmm. No, it's a win-win situation. Mm-hmm. When you meet the need, everybody succeeds. Everybody. And that's what we have to get back to the village. And Dr. Franklin, I loved it when you said, and we got to get back to simplicity.
Hey!
And whatever you do, ladies and gentlemen, always tune in. Yes. And when you love, love with simplicity.
Yes, that's right.
No matter what you do, do it with simplicity.
Amen.
And LaShawn, I know that this event that comes up with the health department, but I know you did this when you won. Tell do you have 46 seconds to tell us about the Miss America.
So United States of America's Miss is what I won 2 years ago, and it was something that was birthed out of me. I wanted to be able to give back to our community, and so this is one of the things I was able to do, probably one of my proudest achievements professionally, because I'm the one who helped create the community baby shower, and now we have amazing individuals such as Blake and our other health educator at the health department is continuing this on, as I am now officially stepped into the role as the director of the Office of Faith-Based and Community Engagement with the Tennessee Department of Health, and just very grateful that we're able to continue to shower our expecting families with lots of love and resources on Saturday, August the 23rd at Patterson Park Community Center.
Amen. 10 years later, look what God can do. Dr. Franklin, God bless you, and we will have you back very soon.
Yes, indeed.
Simplicity, peace.
Good night.
And God be with you. Thank you, Connor.